Hello.
Hello.
What?
Podcast. Time for a podcast. Time for the Metafilm Podcast. Josh Millard and Jess Men West. Talk with somebody about the best of the web. The best of the web.
And yeah, that of course is the big news, which was news last month too. And you know, obviously we had PB on and talked about it, but now it's a month later and PB is officially no longer working at Metafilter and we have Frimble working
Frimble
on Metafilter.
Frimble seems great.
They are awesome.
I mean, I don't know that much about them, but like all signs are pointing to awesome. Proper yep. sense of humor, ability to interact with the community, makes lots of posts, very interactive. I mean, I couldn't love PB more. Should we start recording?
Oh, are I you? Already did, so.
Okay. Sorry. I didn't want anybody to hear about me whining about my
It's okay. I won't
eardrums.
Throw that in there.
But like, I couldn't love PB more, right, as a person, but he wasn't like the most all-in Metafilter user, which is fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But there's something kind of cool about having Metafilter users being kind of all-in as staff that really appeals to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it sort of harkens back to the whole dynamic, you know, early on with the site. You know, I mean, that was just by definition the way it was. So,
yeah. So I'm excited about that. Frimble seems like a good person and like up for stuff and generally pleasant. And correct me if I'm wrong, Austria or Australia?
Austria. Okay. It was a point of confusion at one point in the Welcome Frimble Board.
Well, I read it and then I was kind of zipping around doing a bunch of shit. And then I was like, yay, Australia. And then I was like, I think you got that wrong. And then, you know, forgot all about it because my hectic life. And I've just figured I'd ask you.
Yep. Nope, Austria.
Josh, I can't click a link. Austria or Australia?
Different time zone implications for us, one or the other.
Very different time zone implications. Speaking of, let me talk about time zones for a second. I teach at the University of Hawaii now for like a online distance ed course at the grad school.
That's rad.
It is rad. They're 5 hours earlier than me. Which you would think, Jessamine, that's wonderful for a dormouse such as yourself, because then you don't really need to start work until noon and you appear to be ahead of the game.
Right.
Except they all get off work because, you know, they're distance students, so a lot of them have day jobs at like 5 or 6, which whatever, like I'm awake, but it does kind of mean that I'm like answering questions and fielding email and like participating in chats at like 10 or 11 o'clock at night, which isn't terrible. But it's really weird to get used to because what it means is I should relax earlier in the day, like and not work.
Yeah.
But the tendency is just get up and work because that's what I usually do. But then I wind up getting up and working all day.
Yeah.
Which probably has something to do with the buzzing noise in my head. But it's great. They're all a bunch of relaxed hippies. Like they all say aloha, Professor West.
That's nice.
It is adorable.
It's a solid greeting.
It is adorable. I mean, because people think like, oh, Hawaii, aloha, but like, no, that's how people in Hawaii just talk and it's normal.
Yeah.
Took me a while to kind of get my head around it.
Well, that is cool. That is a neat thing to be doing.
Yeah, it is. I'm enjoying it.
But yeah. I just sort of go back to what you're saying with Frimble sort of being around and hands-on. I think that'll be really nice. And yeah, I have the same basic feeling as you there, I think. And it's interesting because one of the things that I talked about in the big Meta Talk post about sort of what comes next and setting expectations,
which I thought was incredibly well handled.
Thank you. I sort of wanted to like get people to think about how that was not necessarily going to be the case, especially if we'd ended up hiring someone who was not like a Metafilter member.
Because sure.
They would have like zero reason to like, you know, have a grasp on MetaTalk or whatever. But yeah, I think in retrospect, that may turn out not to be as much of a change as it was expected to be. So that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, assuming that they can kind of figure out what all of, you know, PB's little code did, I suspect PB's code is probably well commented and documented.
Yeah. It's in really good shape. PB and Frimble worked together all last week to sort of transfer knowledge and get things documented and make sure Frimble had the keys to everything and so on. And
great.
And yeah, it was very, very hard. Well, it's one of those things where like you know, you can look at someone's resume and you can talk to them and you can interview them and, you know, do a reasonable job of getting a feel of what you think the situation is. But, you know, you never quite know until you get someone to sit down and start doing some work whether, you know, you have successfully assessed the whole thing. And so it was a big relief to have PB and Frimble sit down and start working on stuff. And it was just like, oh, this is...
And they just totally get on.
This is totally working well. All right.
Well, and from an org structure perspective... I mean, you know, PB was basically, I forget, was he on before you or?
He had been doing little bits and pieces, I think, before I got hired, and then he came on full time later that year.
Yeah, because the org structure was always like that PB worked for Matt, and then as Matt was kind of more in or more out, PB's attachment to the site was a little more in or more out or whatever. And I feel like just the last, you know, year or so where PB's been working kind of for you, I mean, it's weird to say it, but yeah, working for you, like that's been nice also just because I think it's really affected the way things have been rolled out and the way dev changes and stuff like that have been made. And so having Frimble coming in and being kind of native into that org structure, I think is also going to be just the net benefit for the site, yeah. I think.
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it. You know, I mean, I'm still, it's still hard to sort of think about PB not working for the team, but at this point,
sure.
I'm excited about having Frimble on board and I'm feeling good about moving forward with everything. So yeah, no, I'm actually pretty excited about
using this as
an opportunity to, you know, sort of revisit stuff and say, okay, well, what if we did this way? And, you know, what if the thing that was like how we've done it for 10 or 15 years, what if we've just been doing that because
PB came with a certain set of feelings about the site and the way he liked to do things, none of which I thought were problematic, but some of which were particular, like, oh, surprise, a Metafilter user particular about something.
It's very unusual for our user base.
Which may have led to some development decisions that, yeah, maybe could get reassessed. I mean, I'm seriously not thinking of anything at this point, but just
thinking just there's all sorts of little things. There's stuff you get, you know, you do a workflow and you get comfortable with it, and then changing it becomes more of an effort than doing it differently in the first place.
Have opinions, like, yeah, about how preferences should or shouldn't work, or how, you know, whether a thing is working despite some users thinking it shouldn't, or how many users thinking a thing doesn't. At any rate,
yeah, it's a whole complicated stew, and it'll be really interesting to sort of embark in this new chapter of technical management of Metafilters.
Yeah, and it just seems like it's been real positive. So I'm super happy for everybody.
I'm super thrilled. The whole thing has gone about as well as it possibly could have. So, and PB has been a huge champ the whole way, helping sort of, you know, document and organize stuff. And so yeah. So that's we've talked about jobs. By the way, you're listening to Best of the Web, the Metafilter Monthly Podcast, episode 117. I am Josh Millard, a.k.a. Cortex.
And I'm Jessamine West, and, otherwise known as Jessamine.
Yeah,
sorry.
We're covering... Well, this is the fatal mistake I made back in 2001 as I signed up with some cheeky username instead of my name, which, I mean, there's nothing wrong with a cheeky username. I love a cheeky username, but, you know, it's not even cheeky. I'm just trying to dress it up. A random username. But
I like when people call you Kotex sometimes.
Yeah, that's a perennial, if you will. yeah, no, it's like Matt had Matt Howie in his name, you know, was his username, and you had Jessamine and you're Jessamine. So like, I've always been like the person who has to clarify who that is, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I didn't name myself. I don't know. I've gone back and forth on this. Like, should I have chosen just like Josh Millard as my username? Cause it would have been very straightforward.
Well, that's your blog name, right?
Yeah. And that's what I use for like pretty much any non-Metafilter thing. And so Cortex is sort of like a weird artifact.
Is that true? You're Josh Millard, like on like whatever Milkshake at Twitter and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Someone else has Cortex, and everyone.
I just like click on the picture of your face. I don't know what your username is.
That works. Yeah, people at Cortex on Twitter every once in a while, and then have to, you know, sort things out because that's just some random
problem with my sister because she doesn't use her real name for anything, and so she's either Bandit, which is her Gmail handle, which is a pretty great handle, or she's Casa Highland, which is the name of her old house when she lived in Somerville.
Okay.
But if she didn't have Bandit, it's usually because someone else had it. But I can never remember. Like on Flickr, is it Bandit or Casa Highland? Is on Milkshake, is it Bandit or Casa Highland? Like on Twitter, I'm sure of it. No, Twitter's Casa Highland. Email's Bandit. But then, yeah, there's another Twitter user, Bandit, who occasionally receives my messages.
That's annoying.
Well, like I told you, I occasionally text the other guy who used to own your very old phone number.
Oh, right, right, right.
He's still in my phone, and I've got some old chats from, you know, when you and I chatted who never knows how long ago. And I'm like, oh, hey, not Josh. And he's in my phone as not Josh, just in case.
That's beautiful.
So, yeah, maybe not Josh needs to be your next thing.
Yeah, but that's too easy. Like, that's the one step away from – that's like someone at some point was like, I'm never going to get Josh for a username. And so I'm going to use not Josh instead. And so if I decide to use not Josh for stuff, I'd be like, fuck, I'm never going to get not Josh. You know, I'm just going to have to chain it out. Anyway,
so and I talked to Jesse about being on the crap shoot at some point in the next couple weeks.
Excellent. That would be fantastic. Yeah.
So I'll talk to you guys once stuff dies down a little bit here.
Great.
Yeah.
God, it's been – I feel like I'm saying this maybe this is a theme ever since I started running the site, but I feel like every month I was like, yeah, this was a real busy month. It's been a busy one.
I have this standing joke with my sister, right? Because I'm like a super I can handle all the stress. I eat stress for dinner and just handle things. I don't love it, but I can do it, which is hence the meditation, the yoga and stuff. But every time I try and interact with her, who has better boundaries, I'm always like, whoa, we got to do this crazy shit. And, you know, then I don't hear from her for 3 days. And then I get this email like, whoa, work's been crazy. And finally I had to be like, you know, you say work is crazy every week, which I think actually means your work isn't crazy at all. Like you no longer get to say, I'm sorry I didn't email you back for 5 days. Work's been crazy. Like, you clearly need to recalibrate either craziness or email.
Yeah, at a certain point, it's either
work was normal this week, which means you shouldn't have expected it.
Work is occupying a great deal of my time consistently.
Sure.
You know how it is. But yeah, sure.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I mean, that happens. But yeah, it does become sort of a thing. But yes, I guess we'll do a quick
tea.
What tea.
I'm drinking
tea. Usually, if we're not doing an evening podcast because of random scheduling, if we're doing this normal morning, early afternoon for you, which is basically morning for you, podcast, I usually have a nice tall glass of water and a cup of tea, and I just brew the tea right before we go, and the two of those usually get me through without going hoarse or getting parched.
Nice. Yeah, I probably should have made some coffee, but didn't.
Yeah, what do you do? You know, it's fine. Okay,
what I need is a Bluetooth headset, and what we need is to talk about the website, not my ears.
Yeah, let's do that. you know what they had on Jobs that doesn't look like it's filled
yet? Wait, number 117. Josh,
oh, shit, you're right. Oh, shit. Tell me about number 117. I jumped the gun.
117 is kind of cool because it factors into 3 squared times 13. Like, it's 9 times 13, so it's like two numbers that seem like weird, wonky numbers, and then it turns into a number that looks like it's a prime number but isn't. But there's not that much interesting about 117. It's a pentagonal number, which means, you know, you can build little pentagon out of it in the little pictures.
Yeah,
there's an animated GIF and talks about it. But the thing that I found was there's also a see also list that goes to oldest people, because, of course, oldest people, the oldest living person is almost 117 at this moment. And if you look at the Wikipedia page about oldest people, it's broken down into two categories, oldest people and oldest men. Do you want to guess why that is? Two reasons.
Why is that? Please tell me.
One reason.
Is one of them patriarchy?
Yeah, actually, but not why you think. It's because elderliness, what's the word? Gerontology. Like, older men have been more intensively studied, and so we have data specifically on older men, whereas then we otherwise just have data on humankind. You know, we don't have data on sort of people based on the research here, but also it's because of the 10 oldest living people are all women, and I think the oldest living men got their feces hurt.
They're like, hey, but I want to be on Wikipedia.
So the oldest men are almost all Japanese, although the oldest one is Israeli, and the oldest of the oldest living men is 112. The oldest, the 10th oldest living woman is 114. The oldest living woman is 116, Italian, born in 1899. And, you know, I think they literally broke it out so that men could be on the list.
I think you might be right. I think
so.
I think,
kind of the patriarchy.
Yeah.
But, you know, kind of just the way science is patriarchal, not Wikipedia.
Yeah.
That's not about Wikipedia sexism, I don't think. Maybe it is. I bet it is.
It seems like it'd be difficult to like unpack that completely thoroughly. I feel like, yeah, I mean, there's no obvious smoking gun here unless we want to like maybe dig into edit record discussions. Like maybe there's some actual weirdness in arguments about it, but yeah.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Not right now. You can't do it on a podcast.
Oh no. See, I put it up on Twitter right before the podcast started.
We spent like 15 minutes on Wikipedia last podcast. So,
the oldest people that there are sections relating to just men. Oh, there actually is a little bit of a discussion about it on Wikipedia. This may be one of those be the change shit things.
Yeah,
I've had it with being the change, Josh. I just want to like have the change sometimes.
You just want to be given your change. You just want to.
Please.
You know, I just pay with everything on a card, so it doesn't even.
How do you feel if people put the on top of the dollar that they have just placed in your hand?
You know, I understand it as a move, but I don't know.
Tell me, explain it to me, because I really don't even understand
it.
I
think they just want to have a way to consistently give you everything in one hand, and after that, it's like your fucking problem. Like their job is not to arrange your money for you. Their job is to give you the money, and if you're going to hold out a hand and they put the bills down, they put the coins down, they've done their part of the job.
Because what I've heard is like just putting the money on the counter is considered rude by some people. So, okay, you hand them the change. But then, like, I don't know. To me, it's basically like a ha-ha kind of a setup where I get dollars and then I get change on top of dollars and there's nothing I can do with my hand.
Well, here's the thing.
At this juncture, except make a fist and stick it in my pocket and run out.
I completely get you. And it is weird. It's like, what do you do? It's a pain in the ass, especially if you don't have another free hand. You're like, but.
And I don't because it's holding my bag of shit that I just bought.
So, but put yourself on the other side of the counter. What is the single foolproof thing you do that will solve this problem that doesn't require more of your time?
Oh, well,
like that everybody's going to be happy with. Like, it's not just like, is there something else that would work if we all agreed that that was the thing to do? It's like, this is a thing that someone is going to understand. And like, maybe you put the coins in first and then give them the bills. They can't handle the coins somehow and they get confused because the coins are hiding behind the bills now. And they're like, oh, I don't know. I don't have object permanence. I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but
that's like a thing with cats.
I feel like this is a question for Ask Metafilter. I think this is a thing we should do, is we should come up with like the Ask Metafilter of the podcast. And after the podcast gets posted, or after it gets recorded, but before it gets posted, we post the actual question and let people go at it. Cause I think
that is a really good idea. I love that idea.
Let's see if I can remember it by the end of the, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to chat a note about this to myself. And there we go. Ask me about.
Why are you chatting? Why don't you just leave yourself a reminder on your phone?
It'll take longer. This is just this is how the sausage gets made. Ask me about coins on bills for change. There we go. That sounds like a fundraising movement. Coins on bills for change.
Coins on bills.
Yeah.
Bills. Bills.
Should we talk about Metafilter? I don't know. We could just go completely off script.
I've just had a lot going on, Josh.
Yeah, I know.
Would like to tell you about it. I
know.
Alone.
I feel you. We should definitely do that crapshoot and we'll get in deep on whatever's going on. But I guess we'll make an effort here to talk about the nominal subject of the podcast.
Yeah, so jobs. You guys hired Frimble. That is awesome.
We hired Frimble, so that's done. It's a weird thing about jobs. You know, every successful job post just disappears because, you know, you close it and then it's not on the front page anymore. So May's got two jobs, but there were probably some other jobs.
You guys don't have like an admin version of this that shows the deleted jobs or the hidden jobs.
That would be not a bad idea, actually.
Frimble!
Yeah. I'll tell Frimble to get on that.
PB but yes. Done right now.
Frimble actually made a change yesterday, very PB style. We were talking about an issue with Fanfare episode navigation. And it's something we'd talked about before and hadn't really sort of decided what to do with. But it's a thing where, like, there's book only or show only and books included episodes of some shows, by which we mostly just mean Game of Thrones, but also, I think, Outlander. But, you know, it's part of the system. And the problem is all of those episodes belong to the same show, and the previous episode, next episode, looks for the previous next, you know, episode posts that exist for that show. Which means if someone posts the books included post for a given episode of Game of Thrones, and then the show only previous episode will go to the books only books included for that same thing. So we were like, well, and Frim was like, you know, I'm going to go take a look. And they got in there and they said, you know, I think it's two lines of sequel that I'm going to change. And it works. So now if you're in a books included thread on Game of Thrones and you navigate to the previous episode, or go to the previous books included thread. You know,
how
and,
nice. That's
and same
lovely.
Thing for show only. It does put a little bit more pressure on people to consistently correctly tag stuff on shows, like if you're doing
on shows
a rewatch,
where that kind of stuff's important.
Well, yeah, if you're doing a, and Game of Thrones gets a lot of eyeballs, so if there's ever a tag error, we find out like immediately. But more casual stuff, you know, there's if someone's doing like a rewatch of a series and they tag most of the post rewatch but miss it for one, that'll get skipped in the episode navigation this way, which is sort of a downside, but also easy enough to fix. So maybe this will get people keeping a slightly closer eye on their tags for the things where they are adding some sort of tag.
Was this the color changes that you guys made, was that last month or was that the month before?
I want to say the month before.
Okay. I don't know if we mentioned it.
Yeah, I don't,
it's
yeah,
nice.
I don't know. Yeah.
Like, as someone who uses the classic theme, I love going to fanfare and just seeing a little purple stripe across the top.
I'm glad. I was happy to get some more color on the site. I'm not making any promises and or threats here, but one of these days I do kind of want to revisit the idea of what if dark mode was the default look of the site. You know, what if
dark
what if,
mode is like new color shit, right?
Yeah, dark mode is basically the modern themes colorful
all I
thing,
care about
like
is how does
colorful.
This affect me.
It wouldn't affect you at all. This would only affect people who don't
know if I
don't
know what
cookies.
Dark mode look like. Can I see that from my preferences page?
Yeah, I mean it. Yeah, if you go to preferences and just select the dark mode theme, or just look at the thumbnail, it looks a lot like classic Metafilter.
Oh,
like
it's
the
blue.
Colorful one. Yeah, it's got the full page colors and the light text on dark.
Oh, it's more Metafilter like, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's what I use. I mean, I think the
here
default.
Here go, l'état c'est moi.
Yeah, yeah.
It's French.
Yeah, that much I could tell, but
it means the state is me.
Oh, right. Yeah, we're getting all Louis the 14th there or whatever. Was that Louis the 14th?
I can't even remember.
One of those Louis. That was Louis C.K., right?
I love how you can just type garbage into Google and it's like, oh, you're looking up Louis the 14th of France.
Yeah, yeah, thanks.
Google, like, I don't know how to spell. I certainly don't know how to do an accent. What? Now, let me take that back. Maybe I do.
Know how to spell or do an accent?
Yes! I figured out how to do an accent. I know how to do it on the phone, and it never occurred to me it might be the same.
Oh, like the accent character. I was like, yeah. You just be, oh, yeah, that's all there is to it. It's not hard. Anyway, so I guess site watchers keep an eye out for the possibility that will suddenly be an experiment at some point.
I just let people have votes, right? We never got votes with PB.
Well,
maybe,
you know.
Maybe Frimble's the vote person.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I want to move to a direct democratic
votes.
Model.
Votes for women.
Well, you know, be the coins and bills for change. Anyway, it's spicy nuts. I don't even personally care about this, but in the spirits of trying to find some of the jobs, there appears to be an open UX designer position Spicy Nuts is hiring for. Hoboken, New Jersey.
Hey, that's an education.
Freelance up to full-time, depending on the situation. If you're a UX person and you're looking for some work, go check it out. By gum is
hey,
what
that's
I
great.
Have to say.
Wow. That's a good-looking job.
Yeah.
I want that job.
Yeah. Well, do you have UX design experience?
Eh.
Get the hell out of here. All right. We talk about projects, or do you have job stuff to talk about?
No. Well, I mean, the only job stuff I have to talk about is there's this really cool job in Portland, Oregon that because this is Metafilter, I feel like we should tell everybody.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It's like a government job being a community technology manager. And I wish I knew somebody who worked for the Portland government so that I could look at that URL. How
That is a government URL right there.
It's a really nice job doing big community technology stuff in the city of Portland, and it looked really cool.
Yeah. No,
so it has nothing to do with Metafilter, but I learned about it this morning, and it's been on my mind.
Yeah. Meh. Well, let's talk about projects.
Yes.
There was a slightly quiet month, I would say, on projects.
I feel like projects was a little quiet month. I'm glad you thought so.
Yeah. But there's some good stuff, too. Well, you know, it's like I tend to see the emails coming in. So, like, you know, on a busy month, like every day there's an email or two about it. And then this month it's been like a little bit more few and far between, some gaps.
Yeah, I mean, I was really excited with the Deathalicious new rollout of Metafilter multi-favorited multi-width, which basically allows you to pull out, if you're the kind of person who likes to do this kind of stuff, heavily favorited comments. It used to be a Grease Monkey user script 10 years ago. It was popular. People would tell Deathalicious to update it. And now there's a Chrome extension. And it's just nice because, you know, Metafilter is one of those sites where the kind of the back end has remained remarkably consistent over the last, 15 years. And so, but it doesn't mean that, like, little plugins and whatever, user scripts has just gone away. And so it's nice that some of the people who are here are continuing to update the little things that they made to make Metafilter better.
Yeah. I feel like one of these days we could have a big sort of Metafilter script roundup too. Just get a whole.
I think that's a good idea. That's probably a good health thing to do every year or two, because I have different setups on different computers. So sometimes there's a star next to my name. Sometimes there's a book next to my name. Sometimes every time I say Jessamine, it says Mom. And it would be nice to see which ones work and which ones don't. That's a good idea. Put it on the list.
Yes. I liked this little write-up by P. Jern. I think I mentioned this just maybe in passing last episode. I'm trying to remember the timeline. Maybe actually it was a couple episodes ago. But P. Jern had quadruple bypass surgery.
Yeah, no, I remember reading about it.
Yeah. And so he wrote up just sort of a post, basically a blog post about some of that experience and stuck it up on projects. Because I wasn't sure where to stick it. I was like, well, put it on projects.
That's funny. I thought I followed him on Medium, but clearly not. Well, I will follow him now.
But yeah, it's a good little write-up. You know, very personal.
Oh, God,
very
picture
very
of him is scary, but funny. I think he emailed that to me.
Yep. A flippy for Cold Chef. Anyway, yeah, it's a nice read. And, as someone who has not had quadruple bypass surgery, it was interesting to me to sort of get a little bit more direct sense of it from someone I know from Metafilter. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I'm glad he wrote that up. That's interesting. I was just talking to our local newspaper photographer because I won a little librarian award and he came to take my picture. And I was like, podcasts, I'm out. I don't know what to do. And he's like, 99% invisible. And I'm like, great. And then kismet, this post showed up where Uncle Glendinning talked about doing the 99% invisible redesign, not only does it look cool, and it's a podcast I know a lot of Mephites listen to, but there's a really nice blogo post on duckbrigade.com, which actually kind of talks about how they did it, visual brand elements and blah, 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 lots of mock-ups. And so for anybody who likes 99% invisible, kick ass, awesome new website. And for anybody who really wants to know what goes into making a really awesome website, there's a really wonderful blog post that I think is awesome that just talks about it.
It seems appropriate to have a well-written, well-designed blog post about redesigning the website for a podcast about design. You know, it seems like it wouldn't be a great look if you just sort of like, you know, yeah, well, we figured we'd just like grab a Tumblr theme and, you know, copy
some
tweets.
But like so many marketing people, and some of design can be marketing, really don't talk about kind of what's going on behind the scenes, you know? They're like, fuck it, like it, don't like it. You know, like we've seen some major branding and logo design fails, and I feel like kind of almost part of why they failed was because, I mean, you know, Instagram, here's our new shit. I feel like part of managing that message is talking about how hard you thought about it. So it doesn't necessarily, like, maybe you don't agree with the conclusions, but you don't just think somebody pulled something out of their butt, like when Yahoo, you know, redesigned their logo or when The Gap redesigned it. And you're like, you pulled this out of your butt. And so reading a really comprehensive blog post is like, no, 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 no. Like, we seriously thought about it, and these are the things we thought about. Blah. Yeah. Yeah, so I thought the whole thing was really interesting as someone who is interested in but doesn't really do kind of UX-y stuff. Watching people do it right is a delight.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's pretty rad. I really like this incredibly dumb thing Ignicknocked made. That is apparently on hiatus now too. I don't know what the story is.
How but, can it be on hiatus? It's been up for less than a month.
I don't know. I don't know what's up. But in any case, it's link finding things, and it's just a Twitter feed of
it's
images.
It's one of these
that
things
have,
that requires me to understand. Is Link the guy?
Link's the guy. Okay. Okay. So the deal with link finding things.
I was
Link,
like, great. It's a library. No.
Link is the protagonist from The Legend of Zelda. And in the original Legend of Zelda game for the Nintendo Entertainment System, one of the very first things you did was walk into a cave, and there's an old guy holding with a couple of burning fires off to his side, I guess his double campfire situation, and there's a sword there in front of him. And he says, it's dangerous to go alone. Take this. And you walk up to the sword that's sitting in front of him, and Link just holds it up over his head, and there's a doop-a-doop-a-doo music. I feel ashamed that I can't remember what it is exactly, but it's a nice little, like, you know,
wait,
Nintendo
fanfare. Wait, so that's where the something something take this comes from?
Yes, yes. It's dangerous to go alone. Take this.
I had no idea this whole time.
Boom. That's
thank you.
Cultural heritage. Anyway, so this is Link finding various other things that are not a sword in a cave. And
it just goes do-do-do-do.
Yeah, do-do-do-do. I think that might be it.
It's ridiculous.
It's the dumbest thing, but it's wonderful. It's so fantastic. It's like exactly the right level of this exists now. Okay, sure.
Very popular. See, I thought when you started laughing and were like, I'm going to – well, you know, joke. You were going to talk
about...
You know
me. I do like to joke.
You were going to talk about the pun generator.
Oh, no, but I do like
by,
that, too.
By Candace Sarton?
I feel like I have an opinion about this, but I don't remember what it is.
Do you want to go read the Metafilter thread about it to see if you commented in it?
I don't think I did. I think I saw the... I put up the projects post, but I don't think I got back to it. So I didn't know that
you put the entice in apprentices. You put the ogres in progressively.
See, those are the ones that are like
rage in garage.
It's really interesting because like it's a very automated thing, you know, and a lot of them are just like, you know, pretty dull. Like you put the reread in rereading. See, it's those internal ones that are really great, you know, like
you put the vying in envying.
You put the cobbler in cobblers is clearly not, you know, that's not a winner. That's not
a pun.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, it's finding substrings, and so a lot of substrings are pretty
creation
boring.
And recreational.
But you put the evoked in revoked. That's, you know, there's a fucking narrative there. Something's going on.
You put the asses in looking glasses. You put the scent in pubescent. This is awful.
That's fantastic.
So, you know, minutes of fun. You did vote for this.
Yes. No, I saw the, you know, I see project posts come in. I check them to make sure the link is working correctly. I check to make sure it's not, you know, the very rare case of someone straight up just trying to spam on projects.
Right.
As much as projects is intended.
Happen?
Every once in a while, you know, and it doesn't really – get any site visibility because, you know, there's a queue on projects. So instead of someone posting and me deleting it as spam, I just look at it and say, you know what, this is a piece of shit, and I'm just going to delete it from the queue, and that's it. And I it's funny because, like, projects, part of the idea with projects was that, like, it's the place where it's sort of okay to self-link. You know, I mean, obviously that's a fundamental thing of it, but it's also, to an extent, you know, when we were trying to steer spammers away from spamming, you know, putting something on the posting form saying, hey, you know, you can't post your own stuff here, but if you do want to, you can do
if
it over on projects.
Cool.
Yeah. And so we would see people who were clearly signing up with the intent to self-link then go and post to projects anyway. And that was sort of okay. But, like, I've sort of realized to an extent over time that, like, more and more, I'm kind of like, yeah, but if it's still just a piece of shit, like if it's really just like junk that you paid $5 to get exposure to, we don't need to put it through. So sometimes those spammy dreams get redirected and then just die on the vine anyway. And I don't feel bad about this, but I feel complicated about the nature of that. Like,
no,
well,
I
you know,
you.
Well, you know what it is? What I would like is
why
to
don't you just
come
build
up
a tool that says you got to, you know, comment 5 times on the site before you get a project post.
Because then we just get shitty comments from people. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's like the same thing.
Make people wait 6 months?
Maybe. That could work. But then
3 months.
But I mean, it's so easy to just not approve it. Like, it's not really a problem. That's the nice thing. There's not really a problem there because it's not like I have to justify not approving it. I, on a rare occasion that one of them writes in, I just say, oh yeah, you know, I didn't really feel like there was a great use of that part of the site, so I'm not going to put that through. And boom, that's it. And mostly I just don't hear from them at all. So the system's working.
Right.
What I would like in my fantasy is that there's some magical, like, 10-word phrase that we can stick on the sign-up page
like
of Metafilter that will actually magically stop spammers from bothering. Like, I want people to, like, have a moment of realization and then just not waste my fucking time. Like, that's the actual problem that I would like to solve.
Sure.
Solvable because, like, you know, you can't get people to agree not to be dickasses. And hey, that's part of my job is, like, you know, dealing with the fact that you can't, you know,
you could delegate it to minions.
Well, yeah. And,
like,
and
are you the projects guy?
I am the projects guy.
Or does everybody share that?
That's one thing that I'm just doing. And I'll probably share that out eventually because there's no reason it needs to just be me.
Make Frimble do it. They're new.
That's more of a content mod thing, though. Like, you know,
yeah,
it's like,
I know what you mean.
As much as I think it's rad that Frimble is, like, socially engaged, because I think that is a
Make
awesome
Rob
quality.
Do it. She's got great judgment.
Good. I think probably having everybody do it would make most sense. We've democratized some more of the pieces over the last couple of years too, and gotten more people's sort of hands on things. So I think that'll keep being a theme.
Good.
But anyway, that's
we
that's
this funny spam thing that happened on Open Library, actually, because Open Library, like, you can just make a page for a book if there's not a page. And so if you're some, like, scammy ebook barely there huckster, you can make a page for it and it looks like a book like everything else, whatever. But we found somebody on, I don't know if it was Fiverr, but it was some site like Fiverr, if not Fiverr, that was like, hey, we'll post your book to Open Library and SEO, blah, blah, blah. And we actually, it wasn't that hard because the person got reviewed and then we tracked down the name of the guy who got reviewed, found his shitty book, figured out who was posting it. And then we just kind of sat there like, well, just because a book is shitty. like we keep an eye on the lady who's posting it just to make sure she's not spamming it with, like, 17 different versions of the book or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
But, like, you know, we're, like, slightly more free speech absolutists at the archive. But we did have to kind of have a conversation about, like, well, we know this person is doing a thing that would be spamming anywhere else. But this thing is a book. And we are a library of all the books.
Yeah. Like, it's more of a question, is this fucking with the utility of the thing you do? You know, maybe
right.
aside from
and
any
I,
sort
and
of,
I don't
like,
think it is. Like, we don't have kind of surfacing of new stuff where this would be jamming that up or anything. So, but we also don't have, like, a notes page on the admin side so that we can keep track of a person. You know, it made me miss, again, the sophisticated tools we had at Metafilter because it's hard to keep track of these. I just have to leave little fucking notes to myself, which is dumb.
Yeah.
Dumb. Oh, and I just also wanted to say I'm so thrilled that Confirm Shaming has continued to be excellent into this month.
Yeah, yeah.
That was my pick from last month, and I still go and, like, get a chuckle out of the crazy stuff that shows up there.
There is going to keep being material for this.
It's going to be
a while, if ever, before that particular trend actually dies down, I think. You know, spammer stuff, we actually had a funny, interesting spammer thing on the site just the other day that reminds me. I went on a big like tweet rant on a couple days ago, but it was I looked at my recent activity and
followed you after your last tweet rant.
Hmm? Well, you know, I respect that. There was
but I like you in general. Just every now and again, I make you shut up.
Just give it a couple days mute. Someone I was looking at my recent activity, and there was a thread, and there was a couple new comments in it after it had been sort of quiet for a couple days, and I was like, oh, that's funny. Like, I guess some people found this thread, and there was just like a whatever, pretty blah comment, not like a two word misspelled thing, but not super engaged. But someone just commenting, I was like, okay, well, that you said a thing on the internet, good job. And then another person after them also did that. And I was like, huh, well, okay. And I went and looked, and that second person, I was like, well, that one, that's like a weird follow-up to someone else's late follow-up, you know, just for not being particularly engaged itself. And so I clicked through on that second person's profile and found that they left like 12 comments and sort of glanced through them. I was like, wow, this feels like a spammer laying some groundwork.
It's because
like, you know, they spammed and like commented in like 12 threads all of a sudden out of the blue. And they don't really have anything interesting to say in any of those comments. But then I sort of like stopped and twigged and realized, oh wait, but they commented right after that other person in all 12 of those threads. It's like, ah,
well,
somebody signed up two accounts and then went through and commented, you know, to lay some groundwork with one and then went back to the exact same set of threads and come and not like they're supposed to know each other. Like they're not specifically reacting to each other.
Oh, I totally agree with my friend, the guy.
I also am in this thread from 13 days ago, but it's a coincidence. I'm just happen to also be here. And, you know, I mean, there's nothing super interesting about any of this. It's just like spammers going and doing some, hey, this is before I spam, you know, link farming, sort of like setting the scene, I think, to make themselves look like, you know, a real contributing member of the community or whatever. But
it's so weird,
but they don't always agree with each other either. Like these two people who aren't, you know, quote unquote people, this person in these two voices is taking positions on subjects and sometimes they agree and sometimes they disagree and they disagreed about bedding a lot. Like one of them really liked
betting,
their
like
waterbed,
like
bed related stuff, like the arena of beds. One of them really liked water beds. The other one was sure that water beds are bad for you. One of them had an uncle who made good money running a mattress store. The other one was convinced that like every mattress retailer is a crook. So like there's
this is what you need to free up your time for from spammers so you can do this?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, I'm fascinated. Don't get me wrong.
I want someone who does like research into like rhetoric and you know, spam to take this as a case study and sort of acquired voices or performance. Anyway, I thought the whole thing was really interesting. And
but
then,
does the story end?
Not really. You know,
fuck.
That's all there is. Like, you know, they haven't actually spammed yet, so we haven't bothered to ban them yet.
They're just
on the watch list, and we'll know as soon as they do. But we did get like 6 emails from people saying, "Hey, I don't know if you noticed this, but there's something a little bit weird going on here," and that I kind of loved because like that is totally the Metafilter like immune system in action. It's like there are enough eyes and enough places that someone can go toss weird comments into like a 2-week-old thread. And someone's like, hey, you know, something's not right here. I'm going to do a little detective work. I'm going to write to the mods. I'm going to let them know something's going on with these sketchy little accounts.
Right.
Yeah. And like, so yeah, like half a dozen people. And honestly, I was going to just leave the comments there just because they're innocuous. I mean, they're dumb, but they're not like making the threads that are terrible. They're at the end of the threads anyway. There's no actual links or spam in them. But I think we would have kept getting email people. So I think after about the 6th one, Lobstermitten was like, yeah, I'm going to go through and just delete these, which was the right decision to make. But I love that there's that artifact of that weirdness. And, you know, we've got it in the database if we ever want to, you know, write it up or whatever.
Fascinating.
Gosh, I'm just full of, I'm full of tangents.
Tea.
Today. Yeah, it's the tea. It's probably the tea. Well, and I've been painting my home office, which I'm not going to go into a 10-minute digression on.
Painting it in a cool way, like your bedroom, or like just a boring way, like an office.
No, cool way.
Do you have a picture?
Not yet, but I'll post one soon.
Okay.
It's a nice bright orange now, and I refinished the floor that had been just a
Why
couple
is all your
old,
shit
like,
orange,
pink.
Josh? You're becoming me.
I like orange. It brightened up that room a little bit. I thought about it.
Yeah.
I just went with orange. And I'm going to do some
That's
design
awesome.
Stuff on the wall. It'll be cool. But I have a sense of accomplishment for that, and also maybe some paint fumes. So one other project I wanted to mention, just because I like it, and I also think the discussion of it is interesting. Escape from the Potato Planet put together a site
always
called...
Always love that username.
Yeah, it's a great username. A couple of sites, that's not how copyrightworks.com and that's not how freedomofspeechworks.com, both of which are intended to be sort of like, you know, hey, okay, you're being dumb about a thing. Here's this site. And the presentation is, you know, very sort of sassy and snarky in a way that like, I totally appreciate the intent there, but it's also interesting to sort of see the discussion that ends up in the project post of people sort of saying, well, you know, this aspect of that isn't correct. Or some people are like, well, you know,
right.
But
that's not how it works.
Yeah. It gets fractal. So there's a bunch of good detail in there, and it's been sort of like a work in progress as a result, I think. But it's a nice idea, and it's nice to see that sort of like engagement on projects. You know, a lot of times projects, you're posting something and it's like, hey, I made a thing. It's done. Go enjoy it if you want to. But sometimes it's like, hey, I'm working on this thing. And so this is one of those nice sort of like, there is a whole process involved.
And Jeticus showed up with some lawyer science, and Sue showed up with some other information about fair use. And yeah, that's great. I mean, great sites. And as well, Yeah. Way to go, Potato Planet. And these are really good, especially freedom of speech. Like, freedom of speech I like because I think it's a little more clear-cut. Copyright is kind of a mess, and it feels like if you support one side or the other, people are like, oh, I know what you're like.
Yeah.
Whereas freedom of speech is a little bit more – maybe it's just because my feels on the subject. But as a result, like, I find myself leaning more towards the freedom of speech of the two because I have very complicated feelings about copyright and not very complicated feelings about freedom of speech.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they're complex, but they're not complicated. You know what I mean? Whereas with copyright, as soon as I read it, I was like, yeah, but like I can feel myself saying that even though I'm probably wrong. So yeah, these are super helpful. Way to go.
So yeah.
And it's Escape from the Potato Planet's first project post. How cool is that?
Oh my gosh. Congratulations on breaking that seal.
If I move right now, I might get hurt. If I move right now, I might get hurt. If I move right now, I might get hurt. If I move right now, I might get hurt. If I move right now, I might get hurt.
Shall we move on to Metafilter?
To wherever we go next.
Yes, we go to Metafilter next. I'm not actually really like asking. Like, I'm not saying, hey, do you think that's what should happen now? It's a sort of a polite rhetorical question. It's like, yes, let's do.
Jim and I had a big conversation about that. Like the difference for me when he's like, so what do you want to do? And I want to go bowling. Do you want to go bowling? Is like the difference between and oh yeah, great. That sounds great. Whereas in his head, they're basically exactly the same thing. Like,
yeah,
he kind of likes bowling, but he really kind of just wants to hang out with me and do whatever I want to do. But whenever he says like, what do you want to do? I'm like, why are you putting it in my lap? Like, it's really weird. Like, I've done some aggressive relaxation stuff over the last like three or four months. And
yeah,
like certain things really have just gone away, and then certain things have been like, nope, I'm doubling down on that one. And one of them is just that, like, what do you want to do? I'm like, tell me what you want to do. Don't always, I don't always want to drive that train. But so we've been kind of working on that. Like, hey, let's do this instead of, do you want to? Like that passive thing for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I'm always like, just say what you mean.
Yeah, figuring out how to sort out like communication.
But I read this really interesting article on Medium about ask and guest culture.
What's that? I haven't heard of that. What's that?
this thing Matt Howey made up.
Matt, he's that Slack guy, right?
I don't know. We used to be friends when you worked for Blogger.
Yeah.
I thought he did a really good job, actually, of summing that stuff up. But it's always funny watching a whole new group of people
like encounter the whole, like, oh.
Well, and even listening to people talk about it in MetaTalk this time around, I got a more sophisticated understanding of why certain people in my life may not be assholes like I thought they were.
maybe it is different.
And worse yet, maybe I'm the asshole.
I think everybody's the asshole sometimes.
I mean, I'm like a smiling Buddha asshole, so I kind of don't care. But I'm like, oh, I could see why they would have thought maybe I was, oh, shit. But I can see why, like, simmering resentment from people in my life over having had to have done a thing because I asked a question in what I thought was a normal way. Suddenly, I was like, oh, I can see how that would have looked really fucked up to somebody who ascribed to this completely different method of interaction.
Yeah, exactly.
It was helpful. So here we are at Metafilter.
Here we are at Metafilter. It's been a month of – we just finished Keep Mephi Weird May.
Oh, I forgot about that. I was like super on board at the beginning of the month and then like shit got busy.
Yeah, well, it sort of continued throughout. It was pretty great.
I've really enjoyed the stuff that I did.
I've liked the – yeah, and I made a couple posts and that's more than I usually make in a month and that was pleasing to me. And but no, there was a – let's see. I'm looking at the tag. There was 168 posts with Keep Mephi Weird this month. And, you know, I kind of hope it'll just keep going. But, I mean, to some extent, I just kind of hope people keep posting weird stuff just as a general thing because that's kind of the Metafilter I like.
I was going to say, Lord love my boyfriend. He actually made a post in June with the Keep Me Weird tag.
Hey, as long as it's not the Keep Mephi Weird May tag in June. And then if it is, maybe that's appropriate. I don't know. It's hard to say.
But yeah, I think for people who kind of love what I think of as classic Metafilter – this tag and just looking at the posts in this tag, you know, like, I wonder if there's a way to lick my cat and groom him at the same time. I saw that on Twitter. I didn't even know it was on Metafilter, but there it is. One of my favorite weird things from last month. And, there it is. For those who are curious, it's like a thing you wear on your tongue that has little grippers on it so that you can... Well, you don't wear it in your tongue. You kind of put it
bite
in your mouth.
Yeah.
And then you can groom your cat as if you were its mommy, as opposed to just with a regular old brush like normal people.
Well, you know, I mean, like you do. That's just that's the way it is.
Right.
Yeah. No, there's been a ton of good stuff. It's just been really, really good. I will have to say, one of my favorite things from the month is not even a Keep Mephi Weird thing. Particularly, it's just a post about a Tumblr blog that started out as a discussion about sort of the Tumblr blog and the phenomenon I was reporting on, and then descended into, oh, we're so close to 2,000 comments now of just dumb pop culture mashup puns. So it had about, like, I don't know, 50, 70 comments maybe of
so
like a normal conversation.
So it's just you take two pop culture things and you put them together.
Yeah. Well, so the post is from Krom Tatman, and it's to a Tumblr blog called justtwothings.tumblr.com. And it's basically collecting and generally snarkily remarking on t-shirts mostly and, you know, other merchandise. And
so like for people who need to get their head around it, there's a picture of a minion dressed as Moss from the IT Crowd.
Yeah. So you've got, oh, it's the IT Crowd and Minions.
Totoro,
oh, okay.
Sleeping inside of Snorlax.
Yes.
Which is actually quite inspired. I mean, I'm sure it all is, right?
Yeah. Some sort of, oh, I guess maybe this is a
Pikachu Ewok?
Bioshock Infinity and Portal? Powerpuff Girls and, you know, Justice League? You have
Beavis and Butthead Breaking Bad? That's, wow.
See, here's the thing. I was saying this in the thread. Like, there's a mix of lots of stuff in here is, like, really clearly the lazy fucking shit that I can totally agree that, like, yeah, no, that's, you know, someone literally pasted a Firefly drawing over a Peanuts drawing and said, you can't take this guy from me in Calvin and Hobbes font. And it's like, that is okay. You just you did literally shit that out.
But that's kind of what's great about the internet, right? Because not everybody's at your level.
Well, no, and that's fine. And like, I'm not going to say someone shouldn't have the right to make, but yeah, but
Hello,
that's
Kitty Peed.
The point is that's lazy versus
Hello,
like, you know, this
indeed.
See that I thought was great. I like right. Hello Kitty. So, you know, it's like I've got real mixed feelings about that. But, you know, after we pretended to be adults for, I don't know, probably a good 4 or 5 hours in that thread, then someone people started making up their own sort of references just sort of like as a minor distraction in it. And then that just completely took over. I think around the time that Existential Dread posted Forrest Gumpkin Head, and it just sort of went downhill from there, and it's been glorious and it's still going like a week later, and we're going to clear 2000 comments easy. But I've really, really loved it. I think that sort of came through right at sort of like a like stressful apex of the whole, you know, hiring process too. So I was like, hey, here's something that I can go make 200 comments in. So it was just good for me, you know?
That's the thing that I have the hardest thing explaining to people is I really do like to, I mean, I'm usually an Ask Metafilter, but I really like to kind of just check in and hang out and like bullshit with some people. And that is kind of a calming thing. Whereas I think for a lot of people, they view kind of like online interaction / discourse as something that's, I don't know, fraught, concerning, something. But yeah, no, I can totally see how this would have been just a great, I'm not even, it's 2000 comments. By Crom Tatman, who's not a username that's familiar to me. Maya Angelou, who's talking. Lord of the Ringu, The League of Their Own Gentlemen. Lars and the Real Ghoulies. I don't understand 75% of this.
It's tricky, you know. You want to have a variety of things in your references, but you also want to be references people will get. You know, do you go for the deep cut at the risk that people say, "Well, okay, you wrote that thing, but I don't get it," or do you really focus on?
And seriously, it's almost 2,000 comments, and it's had two flags, all the flags, two. Which means nobody's making any gross rapey jokes. Nobody's making any pedophile jokes, like, or nobody's paying attention at all. But my suspicion is people are just behaving.
Yeah, no, it's
I don't know, behaving's maybe not the word, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, it hasn't been weird, which is nice. But yeah. Anyway, I've had a lovely time with that, and it'll be open for several more weeks. So you know, people get in there, make it happen.
One of my favorite threads I found by accident, because the one place I hang out on Fanfare is to talk about Saturday Night Live episodes. And so the season ended with Fred Armisen, who is he's not on the show anymore, and he's kind of a polarizing figure because he does Portlandia, and by all accounts, he's kind of a dick, right? But he's a good actor also, and the show was actually pretty good. And one of the kind of pre-recorded bits, so we were talking about it over in Fanfare, you know, me and like the six people who talk about it over in Fanfare. And then somebody, not one of the six people, basically posted one of the like pre-roll video, I don't know what, it's not pre-roll, like one of the pre-recorded bits.
The digital shorts, I think they've taken.
Yeah, which was like kind of a joke takeoff on Dead Poets Society. And it was really funny.
Oh, I thought.
And a lot of people thought. But the thing about the thread that was the most interesting was, number one, you got to talk about SNL and whether it does or does not suck with a larger group of people. But there's a couple amazing comments, both about the size of Fred Armisen's penis, which is very interesting to me. And I would have had no idea otherwise. But also, like, some people who actually had personal interactions with him, you know, good and bad. Schmods is the one I'm thinking of. I'll send you the link. That kind of takes different sides on, you know, what they've heard about Armisen personally, which is, again, one of the reasons I really like Metafilter. Like, oh, here is some people who actually interacted with him when he came and performed at their school, or I had a friend who dated him, and so the thread itself, especially because Metafilter's a lot better at not being like, you know, your favorite band sucks all the time anymore, and so it was actually really nice to bullshit and chit-chat with a bunch of people about this specific thing, and to feel justified by my dislike of Fred Armisen, which is, at some level is visceral. Like, I just cannot stand him. And I know that it's just like me, you know, like he's talented.
Well, yeah, you just get that sometimes. Capable. Like everybody's got,
but
like, you know.
I hate him and I hated Kirsten Wiig. And so it was really interesting to kind of talk through with other people why maybe.
Yeah.
What it is about him that's so.
See, and I really like Kirsten Wiig, but I didn't particularly like her when she was active on Saturday Night Live. Not that I was watching
frequently. Well, I think that's the thing. I mostly was used to her there. I've seen. Yeah. I liked her in Bridesmaids. She was great.
I think what I dislike is shitty, rushed, hammy Saturday Night Live writing. involving her was the problem. Like, you know, when she has a little bit more room to move, I think she's
really
great.
Well, because she falls back on a lot of her tropes.
And it's the Saturday Night Live thing. It's like, hey, this skit was really great. Let's do it forever. Remember that skit where we had that one good joke? Let's keep telling it. And it's like, well, what do you do?
Lady farts a lot. That'll never get old.
Yeah. You know, and if you're a good comedian and you try and work with that, and the writers try and work with it, and maybe you can get some additional good variations, but you're still like, at that point, what you can do is just maybe try and escalate your character a little bit. And it's like, yeah. So, interesting stuff.
So for anybody who hates Fred Armisen, or maybe who likes him, or is just curious about the size of his genitals, that thread is perfect.
Yep. I thought this is a thing that I loved, and I thought the thread was not very good, but it was sort of interesting in not being good.
It happened.
The bottle flip for the ages. This was Arsenio Hall and Warren Oates posted this, and this was just a thing that was going around on the internet. Some high school kid named Mike Senatori.
Okay, I'm watching it. It's 37 seconds long.
Yeah. Have you not seen this?
No, of course I haven't seen it.
Oh my gosh, it's exciting. I almost just want to...
What even is happening?
Yeah, just ignore me and watch that, and I'll set it up for anybody who didn't see it. It's a high school kid who goes to the talent show, the high school talent show, and his trick is that he flips a water bottle. He takes literally a half full plastic bottle of water, and he just sort of bloops it.
And it lands on the table. Which I guess is successful, right?
Yeah, you know.
And then everybody in the audience loses their shit for no reason.
Yeah, it's like clearly everybody is enjoying this. He does this real slow walk up and dramatic music, and there's a pause, and then he bloops this bottle. It's like the dumbest, least impressive looking thing you could imagine for this is my talent. But
you've got to completely be impressed by the cojones of the fact that's a thing.
Yeah, he set it up, he did it, and then everybody is obviously excited about the idea of going inappropriately crazy about it, and so everybody just explodes, and this turned into a thing on the internet, and
Metafilter was mad about it.
A certain number of people were sort of just like, oh, fucking jocks, and it's like, it's a funny thing on the internet.
I had some shitty experiences
in middle school and high school too, so I get it, but it's also, this is one of those just slow down and put this is the moment to put school down and forget about those bad experiences and just say, hey, this is a fun and goofy thing that happened. This is youth culture happening. And it's because shitty experiences in school come up in other contexts in ways that I think are totally legitimate. If there's a discussion about bullying, people talking about their experiences with that in high school makes sense. If there's a discussion about weird systemic problems in schools, yeah, that makes sense to talk about. If there's something to talk about, dealing with people years later who you had bad experiences with and you are carrying around baggage from that they aren't necessarily going to be aware of or weren't seeing the same way. That's an interesting, complicated discussion about the weird traumas and complicated social fucking tire fire that is, being a kid in school. But this kid just flipped over a bottle and it was funny.
I am looking through this thread and at all the things you guys. Yeah.
We deleted a few things. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's weird.
A lot of people recommend the Baggage Reclaim blog for dealing with your own personal baggage. And Good News for the Insane has a very nice comment in there, which I thought was good. I always love seeing Good News for the Insane, at a thing.
Yes.
Because he's not all over Metafilter, though he's in Metafilter. Yeah. Every time I see him making a great comment, I'm like, yeah.
He has a sense of subtlety. And yes, I love this. He's done the table flipping emoji, except for it's flipping
a little bottle
onto a table. And that's just, I laughed. I genuinely laughed out loud. I gave it a solid, authentic lol.
I mean, to be fair, that guy was probably a jerk if he was somebody I went to high school with.
Oh yeah.
On the other hand,
I'm not saying, wow, this guy's obviously cool and everybody should be nice to him. I'm just saying, it's a fucking video of this great dumb thing, and that's all it is. Just enjoy for what it is. Anyway,
it does have a little bit of that mob mentality in it.
Well, I mean, the whole thing seems
now. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, yeah, but
it's so obviously everybody's in on it. That crowd is going wild because that crowd decided to go wild over something dumb. I mean, that's fantastic,
right?
Anyway, there's a squirrel outside. There's a squirrel on my neighbor's garage.
Oh my god, dude! Don't get me started about squirrels. That's what I was talking about before. I was talking about how much my ears were humming.
Okay, we won't talk about the squirrels.
I have like sunflower seed with like red pepper on the outside of them, and still they keep coming.
Those fuckers.
Still they keep coming. My squirrel-proof bird feeder is only proof to gray squirrels, not red squirrels.
Gray squirrels must feel pretty stupid about that then. They're like,
they're just
man,
heavy. They're just heavy. It's not an IQ test. Okay. They're just heavier.
Okay. That works.
Well, I liked the discussion on Keep Me Fi Weird, the thread where Tepanostli was like, I did sort of see this thing about Romanian leaf singing, but I don't want to make a post because I don't want people to be dicks about it. And everyone was like, do it, totally do it, do it. And they did, which is just, people doing this little Romanian singing thing. But it's nice.
Yeah, it's a nice thing. And
it's good music. It's sort of, ethnic cultural Romanians in their funny little get-ups, which I, of course, remember from my times in Romania. So I enjoyed it specifically. And the thread was just short and awesome.
Yeah.
And with a reminder that the Numa Numa video was originally Romanian.
Really?
In case you forgot.
I don't think I ever knew. That's exciting.
Yes.
One of the very early...
I mean, the song is The Kids from New Jersey.
Yeah. One of the very early Keep Me Fi Weird posts of the month was Tane, which I had not seen before.
I read every word of this and had no idea what was going on.
It's just odd. It's odd. All it is. I mean, it's Tane, it's adjacent to Zombocom. You can do anything you want.
This isn't like a thing that means anything else.
I don't think so. No, I think it's weird for weird's sake. But the thing is, it's not new either. If you look down at the very bottom of that thread, I remember this because I favored this comment from Whir, which is just the word Ahurm linked to a post from 2009 that Whir made of Tane. And, this came along, after the post had been up for a couple days. So I wasn't going to go and delete it. But I just wasn't going to go and delete it anyway because, fuck it. 7 years later, we'll have some Tane again, I guess.
I think you're allowed. Jim reposted something from 10 years ago.
Oh, sure. It happens. That's where we'll like.
Well, some people do it on purpose. If, hey, now it's MeFi, make MeFi weird, whatever. Keep MeFi weird. And the people have changed, so maybe they should also get to see Zombocom. Or I think Jim did a Zombocom post, actually, come to think of it.
I think there was, yeah. Like Zombocom for iPad.
So I'm looking at a red squirrel right now trying to break into my house, Josh.
Fucking squirrel, man. What is his problem? The other thing that I like about...
I think it's her problem, and her problem is she's got little squirrels to feed.
Ah, that could do it.
I can see your little nips.
Okay. Utilitarian argument that the theft of bird seed will reduce suffering in aggregate.
Maybe. I don't even. Yeah, I was doing.
The thing about the Tane post.
I did a weather map data porn. Thing from a long time ago, which people weren't as excited about as they should have been.
Well, what do you do?
Yeah,
you pay your money. You take your chances.
Exactly.
As they say in wherever they use too many S's in their words. The other thing about the Tane post I wanted to say, and I just want to say this because I've done it like literally six times while we were chatting before I mentioned it, is that because of the way the post text is made, it's a hyperlinked Tane written in five different directions.
I didn't quite understand that.
I think it's just in the spirit of the weirdness of Tane showing up all over the place in the very pages of Tane.
Did we mention who made the Tane post?
Oh, this was a Splinda. But because it's like a code or TT, whichever it is, sort of mono block, you've got this giant invisible click target off to the right of Tane where if you accidentally click, it'll just go through to the website even though you aren't clicking anywhere near any of the letters in the actual hyperlink, which is not important or anything, but I just sort of like compulsively click sometimes when I'm like... at the computer.
And sure. I've because you think you're playing a cookie clicker game
basically.
With the entire internet.
Oh, we'll get there.
what?
But I'll segue into something, but
what?
With a cookie clicker. Well, sort of. Hop and a skip. We'll get there. Anyway, I liked Tane. What did you like? What else did you like?
Me?
Yeah.
God, I have a ton of stuff from Ask Metafilter. Hold on a second. Let me check my deeper list of stuff. Now I need to figure out what I actually commented in. You know, I'm usually prepared, and this time...
Well, yeah, it's... Well, you didn't even have internet where you were, so...
Oh, I remember. Oh, wait. I don't know if this was... Oh, this is by Jim.
Go for it.
Well, I think it was actually... We talked about it last time, but maybe not. Tell me if this looks familiar. It was all the Lennies and Squeakies walking in the front doors of the Laverne's and Shirley's.
I do not believe we talked about it. I this rings no bells.
Well, it should ring one bell because we talked about it because Jim wanted to make a playlist of all the videos.
Oh.
And then he linked to his own playlist. And then Jeremy deleted his post after you had said it was okay, which is fine. Like, that's actually how that system probably should work.
Yeah, the system was working perfectly. It just was dumb.
But Jim was like, you said it! And I was like, I don't actually work there.
Well,
let's
play by play how this worked. Okay, so the question is, Jim is putting together a collection, not on display, he's trying to make a collection of...
Five videos.
Videos from YouTube, and the thing is, like, well, if there's a bunch of videos.
And there's no existing playlist, and he's like, you know, everybody could watch it in a row if there were a playlist. Can I make my own playlist?
And you DM'd me on Twitter, which is, for the record, the least reliable way to reach me. I mean, I'll probably see it eventually, but, like, just, like, email me, because, like, every once in a while, I'm like, oh, I missed a DM from 2 weeks ago.
You on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter, but, like, none of the ways that I use Twitter, like, the...
No, but, like, I DM'd you on Twitter? That's so weird.
Yeah, you did.
Huh, that's odd of me. I think because it was nighttime and my Twitter was open. That's funny. And your DMs don't just like email you because mine do.
Yeah, I should make them so they – well, they do, but then I sort Twitter. Twitter sends so much shit that I send it all the promotions tab.
Oh, so yeah. You use the promotions tab? No one uses the promotions tab.
I use it to not use it. Like that bunch of email successfully gets sorted there.
All right. All right.
And then I just never look at it. But every once in a while, it falls apart.
Including your DMs. That's good.
Anyway.
You run that website.
Twitter? I don't run Twitter. What are you talking about? I have lost the plot.
You run Metafilter.
Well, I know.
And yet you ignore your DMs.
No. A Twitter DM. It's not MephiMail. I get my MephiMail. You DM'd me on Twitter. That's Twitter. It's not my fucking problem. It's... Anyway, you DM'd me.
I don't need to be contactable. I don't run a major website.
Just don't contact me that one way. No one contacts me about Metafilter stuff via DM ever, except you that one time last month.
Apparently.
So you DM me. You DM me. I see it happily enough, promptly, and I get back to you. You're saying, hey, so Jim's trying to do this.
Quickly, because now I know that works. I don't care what you say. I know what happens.
Yeah, well, yeah, but, you know, sample... You know, past performance may not indicate future, whatever. So Jim is thinking, oh, I should make a YouTube playlist of this because it'd be simple. You wrote to me on DM and said, hey, can Jim do this? And yeah, I don't remember like if we even had a policy for this. And
I think I
said, well, you know, technically the policy is no, because we've always discouraged people from creating something to then link, even in sort of like an abstract way like that. But at the same time, it's not a huge deal.
It's the middle
I think if he wants to do it, go ahead and do it. Cause that is so far out to the edge of any sort of level of concern we'd have there, especially from a like well-established
user and all the stuff.
Yeah. If it's some random brand new person saying, hey, check out this YouTube list of great stuff by this band you've never heard of. It's like, are you in that band? But you know, it's like, Jim, obviously it's not a thing. So I said, sure, I'd go for it. And then he puts a post together and like you say, Restless Nomad sees it, it's like, bro, you can't do that because, you know, you don't do that. And then I think I traded email with you and Jim about like, oh, what happened? I was like, well, you know, I mean, you know, you should ask the person who's like on duty and not just DM me on Twitter.
Right.
And then I told Restless Nomad, so I was like, oh, yeah. Slack. Yeah, and I owned up to her. Just like, oh, hey, yeah, no, I talked to Jasmine briefly about that, and I didn't even think to mention it. Anyway, it all ended well, and Lenny and Squeak. I didn't even know what the playlist was about. Is why this wasn't
sure. Why would you?
Yeah, I don't think we even got into the.
So basically, it's all those times on Laverne and Shirley when they walk in a room, because they have this like comic relief kind of bit where like Laverne and Shirley will kind of be like, whatever's going on, I don't know how this day could get any worse. And then they walk in like, hello. And, and this is just super cuts of that. And Jim and I had just finished doing a Laverne and Shirley Happy Days trivia round.
Nice.
A one-day trivia thing for the trivia league that we're in. If anybody wants me to mail you the questions, I totally will. And are you sure we didn't talk about this on the podcast last time?
Could
we have?
No, I think it was May 2 was
totally.
The cutoff point for last one. And this was May 4th, so.
Yeah, and it's just a supercut of all those things.
Also, when did I start saying May 2?
That's
not me. I don't know.
You know.
That was weird. I really like this post called, this is from Greg Nogg. It's a post called Boy, Oy, 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 which is also a description of the content.
I believe we have to thank for both the, was Keep Me If I Weird, he was one of the guys?
I think it was some sort of intersection of him and Griffiths, like.
Because he was also the guy who did the What's Your Walk On music.
Yes.
The wrestler.
Yes. We'll visit that during the Meta Talk section.
Okay.
I don't know. What if we just said, fuck it? What if we threw caution in the wind and said, you know what? We're going to talk about whatever we talk about whenever we talk about it. You know, what? Maybe it's too late now. We're already kind of coming to the structure here. But yeah, well, is it going to drive other people crazy? Or will they like, hey, you know, it's fine too.
Well, hey, Josh, we could actually take a moment to ask them.
hey, folks.
From the podcast, if we didn't do stuff in order and just talked about stuff from the website all over the place, how did you feel about that?
Yeah, let's chat about that in the ensuing thread for this, which maybe we'll also toss that question in the post so people will have a prompting there. Ask people... What about willy-nilly subsiding? Boom. Note made. Anyway, boy-oy-oy-oying is a funny video that involves the sound boy-oy-oy-oy-oying. And that's all I'm going to tell you. It's funny. Go watch it. It's a minute long. It's great. So I liked that.
One of the things that I like just in terms of like kind of ripple effect, like I'm not always like... Oh, Metafilter is talking about the thing that everybody else is talking about. But this like caramel sugar thing where like you can actually just heat your sugar in an oven and get caramelized sugar and it makes it a whole bunch easier. And oh my God, actually it's fucking great. And then watching all the different people who I know from Metafilter and as well on the internet in general and follow on Twitter talking about this, you know, I'm not that much of a foodie. Really? You know, I eat the same food pretty much every day, always. But like when something like this hits, it has to be kind of a like a real seismic disruption in order to be able to for me to be like, huh, what?
Sure.
And I was interested in watching the sort of trickle down effect after. I mean, it was on Serious Eats, I guess, and then it got posted to a couple places, one of which was Metafilter, and a massive and massively popular thread about how to make caramel sugar.
I completely miss this, and I'm excited about this idea. That seems like a fun thing to try. I've been watching a lot of Great British Bake Off lately.
Oh, by Daisy Ace, by the way.
Yay, Daisy Ace.
Yeah.
You know what? People fuck up their caramel a whole lot on that show. It's like a running theme. Like, someone's like, oh, I'm going to make
some
caramel.
You've got to use fucking
So
thermometers and...
And obviously just sort of like ending up with some caramelized-ish sugar crystals is not the same thing as getting a nice, you know, caramel liquid. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. So here's the thing. This is a post I made, but this is not me being excited about having made this post.
Monster.
I just liked.
Can't even
this
believe
thing
it.
I posted Mad so much. I liked sharing it with people. It's not my thing. It's just my post. I'm just talking about my own post. A game called Factory Idol, like factoryidol.com is where this game is. And it's a idle game. You know, it's in that same general genre as Cookie Clicker and various other games that involve like,
what's
you know,
an idle game?
It's a game where part of how you play is you just sort of let it sit and accrue and let the numbers get bigger. And then you sit down and play some more and sort of spend that stuff on new things. So like Cookie Clicker, you
so like actually leaving the game to idle.
Yeah,
does it?
Yeah. You leave it to idle in the background. Yeah.
It's
an idle game. Some of them are clicker games too. Cookie Clicker is a clicker game because it involved a fair amount of clicking, at least, as originally designed, but it's gotten sort of very idly too, where like, you know, you click on the cookie, you get some cookies, you buy a grandma. You played some Cookie Clicker. You remember.
I do remember buying a grandma.
Yeah, and then the grandma makes cookies, and so she makes more cookies, and then you can use the cookies she makes when you come back to buy more grandmas, and they make even more cookies, and then you can buy a factory and so on. So like the whole letting it sit there thing is a key part of most idle designs. But I like this game a lot basically for the parts that have nothing to do with that. Like I just genuinely enjoy the actual core gameplay of it, which is you're trying to basically manufacture stuff in a little pixely factory where you buy like, you know, an iron supplier and an iron foundry, and you put a conveyor belt from the supplier to the foundry, and then chunks of unprocessed iron go into the foundry. And then out of the foundry comes some nice, you know, smelted iron, and you put that into an iron cellar, and it sells it for a dollar. And you know, you set up a tiny little factory and you start making some money, and then you can buy some more factories and, you know, make more money. And then you can research how to create steel and spend some money on creating a steel power plant and so on and upwards as it gets more technically complicated as you invest in more stuff. And it's just a nice little game. There's not a ton to it, but it's sort of a spatial puzzle. Like, how do I put these facilities here so that the things that need to convey supplies to other things can then supply them other ways in the way that I can fit a bunch of them in this small, slightly weird space. So, you know, it's like a spatial puzzle. It's a problem solving thing. Every time you upgrade something, the relationships between various components change and you have to relay stuff out. And it's just, it's really charming. It's really charming. And, I saw it on Nephite Club, I want to say, you know, a few days ago, a week ago, and I just really liked it. And I was like, I'm having a great time with this game. Oh, wait, this is a free game on the web. I can make a post about this. And so I went and made a post. And now there's like going on 200 comments as we're all trying to figure out how to optimize our gas.
And now your milkshake posts make sense.
Yes, yes. That's.
I had thought you built the damn game.
No. I would like to have done so. But no, I just found it and I'm enjoying it. It's got me inspired to want to go back to working on some stuff of my own. But
that's nice.
Yeah.
Which reminds me of my damn post, since we're doing this.
Let's do it. Let's fucking do it.
There was, I don't remember what the reason was. I was looking for like a dress up like a Penny costume.
And well, you know.
Like you do. And so I found this really, I mean, you know, we all love, I don't know if we all love it.
Oh, wait, is this the mascots post?
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about how you should make this post, I think, at the end of the last podcast.
Yes, and I did make it. And then it turned into a completely hilarious conversation. Had I already spoken to my sister about it? Because as people probably know, I have a Pekingese dress-up costume.
Boy, do you.
I think we mentioned it. And what I didn't know, and I'm not sure I knew when I talked to you last month, was that the Pekingese costume I have actually comes from these people. Specifically, they made it. And my sister's like, why are you sending me a link to that website? You don't know that website. I'm like, no, I found it because ha ha ha, there's this Penny outfit. She's like, that's where the Pekingese costume came from. And it came from there because it's dressed, it's like their dog. Like, they have a Pekingese dog.
Like, you know what? We need to mascot this buddy. We got a good dog. Let's mascot him.
Yeah. And so they made a mascot of their dog, and I have it. Even know why. So I made a post. And for people who like this dress up like a fucking weirdo stuff, because it's not really like furry dress up, it's a different kind of dress up. Like, I totally respect furry dress up as being its own thing. But this is just like, I like to get dressed up like an asshole and go run around. Like, it, you know, yeah. I don't want to rub up against anybody or even meet people. I just want to like go run around in a costume. And yeah, so I made that post at the very, very beginning, right after we talked, I think.
Yeah. No, it was, yeah, that's a nice bridge between episodes. It's an ep bridge.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure it is. Ooh, la, 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 la.
Foolish child, shade your eyes, blanket the sun. Came the day I am safe, you are the one. A magic carpet ride, dreams are all true.
See my alabaster child roll on, 'cause I'm an earthbound girl, and so I worship you, China doll.
Do you want to move on to Ask Metafilter?
Yeah, I do. I mean, there was a couple other like little things. You know, is it safe to use a malachite stalactite as a dildo? The thread for bad geology pickup lines, as Lobster Mitten says. But yeah, no, that was those were my majors.
All right, let's do it then. Let's pop on to
Ask Metafilter. Fascinating. I can never tell if like the months where I'm like, oh my god, Ask Metafilter was amazing, are just because I'm really stressed out and like I go there to chill out, and so it seems particularly wonderful when I need to be there more, or if it just was really interesting this month. I think both.
Maybe a little column A, a little column B.
Yeah. So one of my favorite posts was, bring the best of the world to my home. Basically, Evadery is renovating a house in Canada and is like, all right, people from all over the world, I'm doing a renovation. Maybe you have a thing that's kind of normal in your country but wouldn't be normal in Toronto. Lay it on me so I can have the most awesome house with the most often awesome things. So people, you know, recommend things like mudrooms, recommend things like baseboard vacuums, which I didn't know was a thing, plugs where you can kill the power at the plug. You don't have to turn your thing on and off, heated floors in the bathrooms, an airing cupboard for your dish or your laundry, blah, 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 blah. Just fascinating. I learned things about what you might put in a house.
Baseboard fucking vacuums.
Who knew?
What
right?
is this?
You just sweep it all. I mean, because I always sweep my shit under the baseboard and leave it there, but I didn't know you could sweep it under the baseboard and have some suck it up. That's awesome, right?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's like, I mean, that's why I own a vacuum cleaner. You'd go do the.
My vacuum cleaner is like 100 pounds and always sucks up half of my carpet.
Oh, that's a problem.
So,
you know what you should do? You should get
like,
some cats, and then the cats will pee on the carpet, and then you can't have the carpet anymore, and then you don't have the problem.
See, people give me the cats. The carpets their cats have peed on. They're like, we washed it. It doesn't smell anymore, but we just can't have it in the house because the cat peed on it. So you can have it because you don't have a cat.
That works. That works.
I'm like, thanks.
It's,
but
you know.
It's the only way I basically have carpets, but then the vacuum cleaner eats them because it's jealous that it's not a cat.
Yeah, no, you got to – carpets, you know, rugs and a vacuum cleaner, it's a complicated situation.
Well, you went and got another cat, not another carpet when you lost
it. Yeah. We were already, you know, out of carpets, so like, why go back there? That new cat, by the way, Bodie McBoatface, continues to be an excellent cat.
I have no doubt that Bodie McBoatface is completely terrific.
She really likes to be awake. Once we're awake is one tricky thing. So my desk is in the bedroom because we had friends staying, and so I moved my desk upstairs so that they could use that room. And then I've been slow to get around to doing all the renovation stuff that I mentioned earlier I've been working on. So I'm excited. I'm excited to move my desk back downstairs pretty soon, and no longer have Angela be like, oh, hey, I don't have to get up in the morning, but you're typing really noisily. So it'll be.
I too have a noisy typer.
Yeah. Well, and I've got a pretty noisy keyboard, as it turns out. It's not like a Model M. It's just, it sort of rattles. So anyway, but in the meantime, like, I can get up and sort of be quiet in the morning while I'm sitting here. But Bodhi gets pretty excited about things like a pen on my desk or papers on my desk or anything on my desk. And so she's going to make fucking
noise. Her name is like Bodhi, like Bodie. I mean, I'm aware of where the name stands for.
Yeah, well, you're not the only person, so. I think it's going to get more and more abstract for people as time goes on. But anyway, cat's great. That's your cat
Bodhi.
Update.
Like Bodhi, California.
Yeah.
I knew there was some Bodhi.
It's almost Brody. Oh, Lord, stuck in Bodhi again?
No.
No?
Nope.
No?
No. Nope.
Bodhi, Texas? Or, yeah. Anyway, John Fogarty. Yeah, no, that baseboard vacuum thing is blowing my mind. So
great, totally want it. I mean, my dad once lived in an apartment that had central vac, and that was its own amazing thing. You just plugged a hose into the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
So it came with a hose.
We stayed somewhere when I was a kid, we stayed at like a beach house that had that, and it just blew my fucking mind. I was like, what is going on here?
It totally makes sense, right?
Wheel in there. It's like, why not? Boom, you know?
I'm sure there's a very good reason why not. But
because it's a horrible maintenance nightmare. But
I can imagine.
But, you know, other than that, you got a fucking vacuum in your wall. That's awesome. Yeah. So yeah.
I also enjoyed Help Me Make a Unique Victorian Bat Wedding Dress.
Oh, yeah.
By Beans, who was getting married, and got some pretty good advice about how to do that, because it's got like a corset in it, so it's actually kind of difficult. And my favorite thing about this was how many people in the very beginning were like, oh, yeah, I totally know that dress, and, you know, had all sorts of advice about stuff for this person. I think they wound up with some pretty good advice. But it was like, oh, yeah, bat dress. Sure. Yeah.
Yep.
Sure. Bat dress.
That's
a segue that goes into the thing I want to talk about, which is, I never knew this. This is by Soylent OOFFOO, so Soylent Gray or Green, Green,
Soylent
I guess.
Green, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
You got so close.
I was like, Soylent Gray. But basically, the question is the meaning of the word sure. So if you were like, hey, Jessamyn, you want to go get pizza? And I was like, sure. Does that mean I'm super into getting pizza? Or does that mean I'm grudgingly accepting pizza as a plan because I don't have a better plan? Like, sure, if you insist. Or, yeah, totally.
No,
so if you say a thing, I'm like, sure. What am I saying?
I saw.
It's a super relative regional thing. People from the East Coast see it more as just an affirmative, yeah. And people from the West Coast, it's more like, yeah, sure.
Well, you know, I think it depends on – I think there's a lot of person-to-person variation too. But yeah, no, I saw this in passing and had meant to go back and read it and then it just slipped by me. So I'm just going to toss a favorite on here and come back to it. Because like – yeah, this is an issue for me too, and I think me and Secretariat have somewhat different parsings of it, but neither of us is coming from some like specific, well, no, it has to mean this because thing. It's just like we clearly don't always know what sure means when either of us is saying it, and
right.
I feel like I end up sort of seeming to be like sort of non-committal about something where I'm actually, no, that sounds totally fine. But like, it's not like her fault that me saying something that is kind of a weird subjective word doesn't unambiguously communicate something.
But you wouldn't know unless you'd heard from like 50 people that this is a thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's interesting. I want to read through this and sort of see what.
And a lot of people, there was at least a couple UK people who were like, oh yeah, it's American slang. And like, I guess I see it as slangy, sort of. I mean, it's definitely more informal than yes. But to me, sure is like, sure. I am sure I would like to do that, kind of. Like, it almost feels like shorthand. It doesn't feel like slang, but obviously to people from other places, it's super slangy.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Hiccups.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. So go on to whatever you were going to say.
Oh, I was just going to say, this is an odd tidbit, but me enjoying the way that Ask Meta Filter works sometimes. You know, there was a final update from a poster on a question they asked like a year and change ago, so they couldn't like post themselves, but we can post a final update for someone after the fact. And it's basically just saying, hey, you know, after people gave them some answers when they're looking for a phone, their whole follow-up is basically, hey, I really don't like this phone. This phone turned out to be a bad phone. I'm unhappy with everything about it. So here's some details on why that phone ended up sucking. Which is like, yeah, it's a bummer. It's
wow.
Like, you didn't get what you wanted. But, you know, it's also kind of useful. Like, here is some actual follow-up on how the direction they tried to go with it, you know, ended. So, you know, there you go. But yeah. That whole process thing of late updates, I enjoy it.
Yeah, it is nice. I hadn't participated in this thread the first time around, so it's very interesting. And we're in the process of possibly getting Milo another smartphone. This is Jim's son because you know, he's on like a Cricket plan and it's really cheap, which is great. And he's got kind of a low end iPhone. And then at some point his girlfriend put her Apple ID on it so that they could like download an app. But then they broke up and then she vanished. And apparently if you have an iPhone that's registered to someone else's Apple ID and you don't have their password, you have a brick. Like you can't. wipe and reinstall it. You can't reauthorize it. You can't. There's literally nothing to
do. Yeah, it's a weird thing. Like, I don't know if
it totally makes sense from like a, you know, theft perspective.
Sure. Yeah.
But we're in this awkward position of like trying to get in touch with the ex-girlfriend because her password's on it. And but like they broke up a long time ago, and like she's not super high functioning. Jim's son isn't super high functioning, and so the whole thing has turned into this crazy. Yeah. I even asked Jesse, like, Jesse, is there some like Apple magic you can do? And he's like, do you have the original proof of purchase? Which Matt might have, because it's like an old Metafilter phone. And yeah, it's just crazy. Phones are crazy.
Yeah.
That is my smartphone story.
It's Yes, I have nothing interesting to add to that. I have things I could add to that, but none of them are going to enrich this conversation. So yes, I hear you. Indeed, phones, transferring them.
Phones, am I right?
Seriously, who are the ad wizards who came up with this one? what else you got?
Salesforce, how to hire ethnically diverse employees. Basically, somebody whose heart is in the right place, anonymous. Heart is in the right place. They want to focus on diversity. They don't really have a lot of money to do it. They don't really think anyone else is going to try and focus on diversity. How do I put this job in front of more people in order to get a more diverse workforce?
Sure.
And there's actually a whole bunch of really good advice, which is nice. I mean, you know, some of the advice is not as useful, but some of it is like, hey, try this, try that, try this technique, go to these places, blah, 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 blah. And yeah, I found it a super helpful question I think a lot of people have. You know, I want to get a diverse workforce, but I don't really, you know, I'm not totally sure how to do it, but I'm trying to do the right thing, but I'm kind of clueless.
Yeah.
Will help. And yeah. So there's a little help.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, geez,
did you need Ask Metafilter this month?
Not much. You know, everybody else.
It's been a busy month for you.
Yeah, it's been a busy month for me. I don't read a lot of Ask Me any month. It's, you know, it's
why? It's fascinating.
I just like, because like, you know, it's how much time do I have, and a lot of my spare Metafilter time goes to the
game.
Blue. You know, I tend
clicker
to
games.
Read well,
clicker
yeah.
games.
That's, you know, here's the thing. I don't want to go into a big thing about it, but like, I really spent a couple years just away, and I have like allowed myself to dabble a little bit more.
Wait, when were you away? Was that when you were just working your ass off at Metafilter, or was that when before that when you were working your ass off at the insurance company?
No.
Were you in prison?
No. Yes, I didn't know how to talk about this.
I went down for a while.
Away from clicker games. I've been away from clicker games for a year or two because I was like, you know what? I'm playing like four at once and none of them are making me happy. And I just sort of stopped.
Yeah,
and recently, okay. Cookie Clicker came out with a version 2.0, and so I came back to sort of check out what fun things.
Recently, like recently,
like the last few months, sometime this year.
Is it better?
It's the same thing. He added some stuff. Well, I mean, it's Cookie Clicker. You know, it's not going to go in some crazy direction.
Maybe it's more sophisticated, yeah. And it's sort of math purchasing.
He added some nice metagame stuff, like when you reset, when you ascend and go collect your heavenly cookies that give you a production. Multiplier in your next life. There's also sort of like a skill tree that you can buy special abilities with.
I just love hearing you talk about it because you're so enthusiastic. Yeah, no, it's like if you had children, I would think you would talk about them like this.
Probably. Or like about the cats peeing on the rug. It's either or.
But you're not a like my cats are my babies guy. Not that you don't love your cats. But
well, they're great, but they're cats.
Pets.
Yeah, they're cats.
But Cookie Clicker, that's something
Cookie
else.
Clicker, that. Right here, right in my heart. I don't even know where I was going with this exactly.
You ascend to heaven with your heavenly cookies.
Yeah, and you get stuff there.
Next
skill tree.
Life.
I don't. How did I get there? I think you. I don't know. Anyway, I don't. I have no idea where I was going. So, you know, ask it. I just don't read a ton of ask because I tend to end up using my, you know, free cycles on Metafilter on like the Blue and to some extent, you know, on MetaTalk and. You know, a little bit of fanfare, a little bit of music, but I think
sure.
I think that the Blue ends up eating most of my like spare cycles. I have to moderate Ask Me, you know, and you know, so I always have like my recent activity. I can talk about every thread I had to leave a note in, but that doesn't like most of the time that doesn't bode, you know, super well. I don't know. So this is actually an interesting thread. It's kind of a challenging one. It's a little contentious. I think a hard read for some people.
Whoa,
people
are being iterable. I've been reading this.
But it's also, it's interesting and it's a genuinely complicated intersection of very different things going on. This is a anonymous question.
Oh, yeah.
About, the title is I Can't Handle My Friend's Kid. And increasingly my friend. And it's someone saying, hey, I'm friends with a couple who have a four-year-old special needs. And the short version is the kid is hard to be around and has
the kid says slightly dickish things to me. And then the parents, instead of being like, whoa, sorry, my kid's a dick, are like, yeah, I know. Anon's kind of noisy or whatever. And then Anon feels really
like their friends aren't
this.
Getting their back when their kid's behaving in a way that they think is inappropriate. And
because with the neurotypical kid, you kind of expect the parents a little bit, depending on the parents, to be like, oh, hey, don't tell my friend she's ugly. Whereas with a kid who's, not neurotypical, different people have different feelings about how to deal with those things.
Yeah. And it, the whole dilemma, the source of the contentiousness in this is that there is both a reasonable sort of, hey, this is hard for me to deal with being around, so I'm not sure how to deal with it.
Sure.
That's totally understandable. But on the other hand, it's really difficult. I mean, it's hard raising a kid, period, but it's especially difficult.
I don't know how anyone does
raising a special needs kid. They have special needs. It's more challenging. It's stressful. It's, exhausting in ways that even typical parenting may not be.
Well, and especially with young kids where you're still kind of figuring things out.
Yeah.
I mean, Jim's got a sort of a special needs son, but he's 20. So Jim's had a long time to kind of get used to.
Yeah.
The different sort of accommodations that Milo needs and how to kind of work within the system. And Jim's really availed himself of, the various support networks that he has available. But even so, some of the stuff is difficult. And when the three of us get together and Milo says something weird to me, which he almost always does, it's a little challenging figuring out how to work with that, challenging. So I gave what I hoped was some helpful advice.
Yeah, I thought your answer then there was good in sort of characterizing it in terms of things can be difficult and you can sort of decide how you want to.
Yeah, you need to set your own boundaries, which is kind of what I did. But, we've got a lot of parents of non-neurotypical kids. And what we had, which I thought was really interesting, was towards the very end of this thread, Empty Thought shows up and was like, hey, that could have been me as a four-year-old, as the kid. Let me tell you what was really hard for me and my parents growing up, blah, 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 blah. And, he's got his own particular manner, but I really felt like his feedback was interesting because very few people spoke from this is what was difficult for my family. We had some people who were like, well, I'm not neurotypical and this was what was hard growing up. And a lot of people who were like, well, I'm a parent of a similar kid, so blah, a little bit of kind of unsolicited parenting advice. But then he was like, well, this is what it looked like from me, kind of.
Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of interesting stuff, obviously sort of a difficult thread, and something where I think a lot of people who, and this certainly came out of this, right? A lot of people who have direct experience, being the parents in this situation were pretty your friends have way more on their plate than your feelings about what your kid says.
I think is also a completely valid point. And you don't know, right? You've no idea sort of where they come at them. And again, it's also a style thing. I mean, there are some people who are like, we actually don't care about you if we're dealing with an issue with our kid. And then there's other people who are like, well, we try and balance it and maybe we're not doing a good job. But you don't know until you have the conversation. Again, sort of back to the ask guest culture thing that I think a lot of people, to my mind, it's like, well, you start a conversation. And there's definitely some people in the thread who are like, no, you fucking don't. And I'm like, huh. That's clearly a legit approach because it's theirs, but it's interesting for me trying to understand that.
Yeah. Thank you.
I did want to mention a couple music things. I don't know if you put together a music minute thing or not.
I've got a couple tracks I could mention, but I am.
But the one that was so interesting to me was this thing by Bfoot Dav, the guy I always assume is Barefoot Dave, and I should probably actually check. Yeah, Barefoot Dave did a poem fragment that was set to music. It using the Platonic music engine. And so basically it can, I don't 100% understand it, but basically you can do, let me read back and make sure I understand what's actually going on. It can generate sort of sheet music and audio output for various kind of text inputs. And so the thread itself on the top, it's a little kind of over my head, but it takes like a Greek poem and turns it into music using math. Yeah. But then it goes through the thread and takes some of the user's usernames and turns them into MP3s.
That's awesome.
So Billy B and Greenish and Not on Display turns them into little things, which if you're nerdy like that, it's just super cool.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I totally missed that, and that is pretty fantastic. I will have to dig into that a little bit.
Yeah. So that worked out well, and of course, I loved the Greenish and Not on Display's China Doll collaboration.
Yeah.
They've basically been doing sort of more and more music collaboration across the pond, as it were.
Yes.
And they did this really kind of cool cover of this Julian Cope original that I was really happy about. I don't spend as much time in music probably as I should, but Jim always kind of points me to a couple things that he thinks are worthwhile and interesting.
It's a good policy. I liked I'm Ignignacht is doubling up.
You guys are simpatico, aren't you?
Yeah, well he made a little recording called Cuidado that's just entertaining. As he says, you know, bleeps, pew pews, and vaguely apocalyptic vocal sample.
He has a child.
It's nice. I like it, but I also, I've always thought that like Caution Cuidado should be the name of a horror movie about somebody who is not bilingual, who's afraid of a monster because he doesn't, you know, speak Spanish. So I also like the fact that the core vocal sample is, you know, Cuidado means caution. So that comes together nicely. I wanted to mention a couple other, there's sort of like an experimental music theme to so stuff that caught my eye. So that one's sort of like a little bit experimental. This is a old track from Carrot Adventure, who we've mentioned a number of times on podcasts because does fantastic music. But this is
from the last podcast.
Did this come up in the last podcast?
No, I don't think you mentioned it.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's fine. That doesn't matter.
Well, fuck it then.
I was on a roll.
Podcast listeners, can we just talk about anything on Metafilter? It doesn't have to be last month, does it?
Yeah. Do you care if we – yeah, let us know. We're just going to rip the pages out of the rule book is what we're going to do. Next podcast, apparently, because we've stuck with them while contemplating breaking them.
Well, I think that's good, though. Change is hard.
Yeah, it's a. We'll see what happens. Anyway, like this. This is an older track from Carrot Adventure. So going sort of back in time here. But then also from Come Along Pole, also an older sort of unfinished thing. That's sort of neat, and I'm worried I'm mixing them up in my head now, but this one little sort of ambient concoction with some samples in there. And then some improvised stuff from user Gorbachev, who I don't know if we've mentioned a music post before, but this is sort of like improv with a band called the Kilter Tolks. Kilter Tolks? Sure, that sounds good.
Sure.
So kind of I often have a little bit more like a, you know, I don't know, a sort of a constructed set of moods and, you know, mix of sort of poppiness and not so much and whatnot. But this time it was like, you know, here's some stuff that's all a mix of weird and old, and I just sort of like it for that. So there we go. That was that minute is what that was.
All right. The music minute.
Yay. So there was a bunch of cool stuff on MetaTalk we should mention briefly. You had mentioned the wrestling entrance theme music MetaTalk.
I thought that was a fun thread. I enjoyed it.
Greg Nogg basically just said, hey, you know, what's your entrance music? If you're a heel or if you're a face.
Which you know, I, both. If I had known that terminology before, I had forgotten it.
Yeah, no, it's great. So yeah, a face is sort of like, you know, a good guy in wrestling. A heel is a jerk. He's kind of a heel. And then, you know, wrestlers sort of change their stature sometimes. And so sometimes they take a heel turn, or even a face turn.
Face turn.
Yeah. I think heel turn is a more common phrase, but you can have a face turn. You can have sort of like a redemptive arc. You know, if someone comes into the light based on the manic narrative events of, some kind of manic wrestling situation, a kind of WrestleMania, if you will.
What?
Yeah, no, I just coined that. It sounds pretty good. I like it. let's see. What else? Let's see. We mentioned... So we've got a Hello to Frimble thread.
Which I enjoyed.
And you had mentioned also the Slack blog Ask versus Guests thread.
Yeah, so which didn't get as much of a kind of an uptake as I thought.
Yeah, I don't know.
Speaking of not as much of an uptake, too, Johnny Wallflower posted about my awesome interview, which I enjoyed, but it got very little in the way of commenting.
You know, I think sometimes people just aren't right there. You know,
well, people are kind of used to me doing this, so they're like,
Jessamine
is Jessamine.
She's super cool. You know, the other gigantic sprawling. Not a horrible disaster somehow thread we had along with the pun thread was this MetaTalk thread, the MeFi calendar of unofficial events, which is about 10 comments of people actually trying to answer the question. And then,
oh, right. I saw that when it went up and then didn't go back to it.
Turn into an alphabet thread.
And that's where the alphabet thread is now.
Yes.
I saw it on the sidebar.
Yeah. First one we've had in a long time.
That's nice.
It's been fun bringing that back around.
Oh, and favorites turned 10 years old.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That thread really should have been worse than it was.
I was like, nope, it's going to be fine. And then it was. No one wanted to really start shit, apparently. So, oh, I see. The caramel sugar thing was mentioned in the MetaTalk post about food stuff. Right. I missed that one. That was like a, this is not going to go bad. I have to focus on other things right now. Casualty of my MetaTalk reading, because I usually read everything, but
I still read everything most of the time. I just don't stay with the stuff that is that I don't have to.
Yeah, well, I just end up, I read it all the way down. Also, you know, we worked on flag stuff a bunch. I think we talked about this in the last podcast, and then we did another test that I think got closer to where we're going to land with it.
God, but then, I'm so happy you guys went away from that. I very rarely feel like MetaFilter's not going in a way that I enjoy, because I just feel like, I mean, the site, I've been there long enough. It's kind of, I wouldn't have stayed if my sensibilities and the people who ran it sensibilities weren't the same. But like, I was really having a hard time for like a couple days being like, they can't do that. That doesn't make sense for reasons. Reasons!
Yeah, it's felt like
I tried to just comment sensibly and figure that you guys would do what you did, and I'd learn to live with it if it actually worked out. There was probably a good reason and whatever, but I think what you guys are looking at least your second go round of attempts looked a lot more like what I was hoping.
Well, and it's much less of a change, and I think that's probably like I think there was a mix of totally legitimate reasons and then air quoted capital R reasons in people's pushback on it, and like, yeah. Both are legitimate, but
I know what you mean.
But you know, I really liked some of the ideas in that first test. You know, I was really sort of strongly advocating for them in trying to try it out, but it was really useful to get people to give us feedback and try it out and, you know, sort of talk about it. So,
well, and the thing that's wacky too is the way the world has changed. You know, like the way MetaFilter flagging worked when it started was very low friction compared to other ways, like fill out an email, do a bunch of shit, blah. But nowadays, flagging really is as easy as like clicking a thing and moving your finger slightly. And so anything you do that turns that into more of a thing isn't contemporary. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if it might make sense for every other really good reason. And even if it looks contemporary, just the extra clicking is just not 2016. That was like my weird feeling about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Excuse me. It was definitely much a bigger visual change. And it just like it testing did turn up more difficulties with it just mechanically than expected. So, but anyway, the long story short is that I feel like the basic code base and the idea for that is in pretty good shape, but because we're in this big transition, it'll probably still be a little bit before we actually get around to rolling that out. But it's very much something I want to get to once we sort of settle into the new order with Frimble and everything. One other thing we should mention actually, Fraula posted to let everybody know that Wolof passed away. He had been sick for a while, and then he had moved to palliative care a few days earlier, and then he moved to palliative care for a reason. It's a nice meta talk thread. A lot of good bits of memories from people about him. You know, he was a good dude, longtime member of the site, and sad
Australian.
To see him go. Yes. Yes, one of the better behaved of our Australian contingent, I would say.
Musician.
Yep.
Yes, and all I don't think there. I got to meet him though of the Australian Mephites that I met when I was down there. Yeah. Why are violas better than violins? You can put more beer in a viola.
Yes. So we'll RIP, RIP, dude.
We'll miss you, Wolof.
Well, now that I've ended on a real upper note.
I don't know where you were going with that. I'm the community engagement specialist.
I just wanted to mention it. I don't know. It felt appropriate. I think I'm fresh out of Metafilter for now.
It sounds great. We can bring it in under 2 hours.
Maybe we'll go
to the anarchic podcast next month. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Let's talk about it. We'll see
My
what
class,
happens.
University of Hawaii wraps up on the 1st of July. And then there's the 4th of July, and then I'm going on a road trip, so we'll have to really wedge it in
there. We'll figure something out.
We could do it from the road. I'm not even looking at it, the Metafilter. I'll just tell you what I remember from shit I looked at 2 weeks ago.
That's perfect. That would go with the anarchy theme well. So, yes. All right. Well, we'll just see what happens. Maybe that's what will happen. Maybe we'll have a vote. All right. Well, it has
very anarchic.
Nothing says anarchy like
voting on it.
Yeah.
Always a delight talking to you, Josh.
A pleasure.
Cuidado means caution. 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 The missiles are launching. The missiles are launching. Pew, pew, pew.